this morning to the book of Philippians here. If you are just joining us for the first time this morning, or even for your second time, whatever, welcome. We're glad that you're here. We trust that you'll enjoy the fellowship today and then the time in God's Word. We're going to be back in Philippians chapter number 4 here. And those listening by way of the internet, we are glad that you're here as well. It looks like we've got sound. It's all working back. And thanks again, Alfonso. Poor guy. He's just running hither and yon to keep everything operational, you know. If you were to look at his system back there, what he has in the back of the pulpit back there, you're looking back, there's a bunch of wheels running and running and running and running, keeping the energy going, right? That's what. So we're kind of old technology still. No, I'm just joking. But Paul, we should appreciate all his help and work on this over the years. Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. And we're going to go all the way back to verse 4. We've been memorizing from verse 4 down to verse 8. But especially today, we're going to be looking at verse 9. But just so that we can see and appreciate the context, we want to go back to verse 4. So let's read out loud together from verse 4 all the way through verse 9. Okay? He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men." Why?
The Lord is at hand.
That's why. See that there? Okay, anyway, I won't interrupt anymore. He says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Gracious God and Father, we thank you for the testimony of your word working in us as we believe it. We thank you for the light and the wisdom, the strength, the encouragement, the comfort that comes when we make the choice to find rest in your word, to believe what you say, and to have confidence that we can and should count on you. And we ask this morning, Father, that as we look at this passage and related passages, that we would appreciate how it is, from a practical standpoint, an experiential standpoint, how it is that you, as the God of peace, will be with us. And we'll thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, well, the title to the message this morning is Abounding More and More. And you can see that that idea, that theme, really was introduced at the beginning of this book. You go back with me to Philippians chapter number 1. And it's been a theme all the way through the book here. Philippians chapter number 1 at verse 9. Philippians 1:9, he says this, "And this I pray, that your love may..." And then what's the next phrase there? "Abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." So hold that verse right there. That's what we're going to focus on, especially this morning, when the Apostle Paul says that your love may abound yet more and more. So, abounding more and more. What does the word abound mean? Anybody know? What's that word mean? What's that?
Growing
broader, bigger, right? In capacity? Excellent. What else? What's that?
Flourish
is a great word to think about, okay? So what we want to focus on this morning is this idea of abounding more and more. When Paul says in that verse, "And this I pray, that your love," and he's talking about your appreciation, your value of what God is doing, your value, how you value who He is, what He's doing, "your love may abound yet more and more." How? In what's it say there? In what? In knowledge and in all what? Judgment. Judgment is the idea of discerning. Thinking things through. Making evaluations. How to apply things, right? So you can see from the very beginning of the book here that the Apostle Paul, what he has in mind is his desire. He's praying on behalf of the Philippians here that their appreciation of what God is doing in the dispensation of grace would abound more and more. It would grow more and more. It would flourish more and more. And the way that that happens is as we continue to grow in the knowledge of and the appreciation of what God is doing, how He's doing it, who He's made us to be in Christ, things like that. So when he says that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that discernment. Verse 10, that, here's the intention, that you may be able to approve things that are excellent. You see the word excellent there? The excellent. What would things that are excellent? What's that mean, excellent? Things, the best. Things that excel. Things that excel. Growing in an understanding of God's grace and letting God's grace get in you, where you think about it, you learn how to apply it in life. It not only enables us to discern, make different decisions, better decisions, but when that verse says that you may approve things that are excellent, you'll be able to choose the things that excel, things that are at a higher level, as it were. Let me say it this way. As a believer, do we all know that sin is a bad thing?
Yes.
As a believer, do we all recognize that as believers we shouldn't sin?
Yes.
As believers, do we know what sin, what it is, what it looks like?
Yes.
Okay, we do, right? Okay, we don't have to go through all that. When you're, for example, in the book of Romans, it stands at the beginning of Paul's letters as they're laid out in your Bible. The book of Romans equips us as believers to identify just the basic do this, don't do that. You know, don't do these sins, live unto God. And it identifies specific things. But is there more to growing as a believer than simply asking the question, is this a sin or not?
Yes.
When I was growing up, we belonged to a particular religious denomination, and I distinctly remember we were in the car one day going to church or catechism or whatever, and we were having a discussion in the car of is this a sin? What about this? Is this? Now, as a kid, and maybe even as an adult, why are you asking those questions? Say it loud, Mom. Let's say it loud. To see what you can get away with. That's why.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that interesting that my wife said that? You know? Yeah, she said I had four boys. Right, yeah. And the four boys came from a boy, right? A boy that refuses to grow up, as it were. You know the old saying, you ask the kids, what are you going to do when you grow up? I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to do when I grow up. I refuse to grow up. You guys know that. Anyway, I've been going on track here. Listen, the idea is this, that when we in our human nature, we say, well, is this sin? Is that sin? It's like, how close to the line can I get
without
stepping over it? You understand the concept? Well, in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul, the layout of the book of Romans, it teaches us how to discern the difference between and what is sin and godliness. And don't do this instead. But by the time you come to the book of Philippians, remember the sequence of Paul's epistles. When you in Paul's epistles, when you go from Romans, help me out here, what book comes next? You've got 1st and 2nd Corinthians, right? And then what do you have? And you've got Galatians. And then what do you have? You got Ephesians. And what do you have? Now that's where we are. Philippians and then Colossians and so forth, right? What's happening doctrinally, spiritually? What's happening in the soul of the believer when you read from and when you study from Romans through Philemon. So you're going to, obviously you have Thessalonians and Timothy, Titus and Philemon, right? When you're progressing from the books of Romans through Philemon, spiritually what is happening in your soul, you are going from milk, as it were, to meat, as it were. Okay? Spiritually speaking, you're going from the basics, the foundation, the beginning things, and you're progressing in an understanding of God's Word. That's what's happening to you in your soul when you read the Word of God in that sequence, and when you study it in that sequence. There's an absolute spiritual design to the Word of God that happens to you when you read it that way. That's not the order in which Paul wrote the books. That is the order in which the Holy Spirit had them laid out in your Bible. And the reason that they're laid out in that order is that that is the sequence of accomplishing spiritual edification in the soul of the believer. Okay? Now, having said that, therefore, when we're in Philippians, spiritually speaking, you got to understand that you're further down the line in the understanding of things. You should be. So that's why here in Philippians, when he says that you may approve things that are not simply good or better or best, but things that are, what's the word?
Excellent. The best of the best.
The best of the best, as it were. So by the time that you're in the book of Philippians, you are at a place of understanding and an appreciation of grace to where it's not so much the struggle about the simple right and wrong things. And by the way, even if you're struggling there, you know what you do? You go back to Romans and you learn how to progress through that. You don't condemn yourself. You don't beat yourself up, because God's not condemning you or beating you up. But what you do when you're in Philippians now, you're at the place where you're approving things that are excellent. The ability of the Word of God that has gotten into your soul and that you can read on the pages of the Scripture allows you to look at whatever the situation is and then find 2, 3, 4, 5 different passages of Scripture that will shed light on that situation and therefore how to respond, what to do in the situation in a way that is excellent. You see that? Now, go back with me to chapter number 4. So when we talk about this issue of abounding more and more, you want to remember that the Philippians, spiritually speaking, Philippians were pretty far along, spiritually speaking. Yes? They had grown pretty well spiritually. They were struggling with some things and so forth, but the purpose of the book of Philippians is to bring them to that place where they're able to discern things that are excellent, choose things that are excellent. So now watch the flow here. And we'll ask some questions here. Look back at verse 4 of chapter 4. So Philippians 4:4. Watch the progression, the flow of the thinking here. What should we be doing based upon verse 4?
Rejoicing
where?
In the Lord.
How often?
Always.
Based upon that is where we find our joy, where we find our purpose and meaning for living. What should we do in verse 5? What does the word moderation mean? Like you're even keeled. Okay, the exact opposite of a type A personality. No, I'm just joking. Okay. No particular person in mind, right? You know what I'm saying, okay? Right. You know if you showed up today, I was going to pick on your brother, right? But in love, right? Doesn't that verse say, pick on your brother in love? Is that what that verse... Anyway. So based upon where we know to find our joy in Christ, that's how we let our moderation, that nice spiritual stability, be known unto all men. Why? What's it say? Why? How come? Because the Lord is right there with you. And the Lord's coming, by the way. And so in whatever situation that we find ourselves in, what are we instructed to do in verse 6? You know what? Just pray. Just talk to the Lord about everything. You know? Just realize that whether you know it or not, you are in constant communion with God. Did you know that? Why do I say that, by the way?
He lives in us.
Because He lives in you. There's no thought that that you can have that you can hide from God. You can't hide any thought from God. You can't say, hey, God, for just a moment. God, give me 30 seconds. Would you give me 30 seconds, God? Well, you will, for the next 30 seconds, just shut off your ability to read my mind and discern my heart, because I'm going to have a bad thought. Just give me 30 seconds. That's all I need. It doesn't work that way. Okay? God, you're always, not only are you always in fellowship with God, yes, I did say that, you cannot break fellowship with God. You're not the one who created it. God is the one who called you into a fellowship that was already happening. God called you to the party. And He's going to party whether or not you like it. That fellowship is between Him and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And He called you into that fellowship. You're always in relationship with God because of who you are in Christ. We'll talk in a moment about how you actually get into Christ. That's the most important, right? But when he says at verse 6 there, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests, let. What's the word let mean?
Allow.
Why in prayer, why would Paul say, let your requests? What's implied in that? What's that?
It's a choice.
A choice? What else? Let. So it's a choice. Let your requests be made known unto what? What has to be true in order for that verse to mean what it says? What has to be?
You have to have a relationship with Him.
You have to have a relationship with God through Christ. What did you say?
God cares and wants to.
Say it really loud.
God cares and wants.
That verse would mean nothing if God didn't care. Did you get that? He says, let your requests be made known to God. That verse is an absolute proof that God cares about every detail. Talk to your God about everything in your life. You know, I suspect that probably, I mean, I know the dear saints and everything, when they had to call the paramedics, I suspect they were talking to God. I suspect when he's on the way to the hospital and Syl's concerned about him, she's talking to the Lord. I suspect when he was fixing to go into surgery, he's saying, Lord, I'm glad I belong to you. Years ago, they had a different, but a similar, more scary experience where the doctor told them one thing that was quite devastating. I suspect they were praying back then as well. Many of you here have had experiences like that, where you're just talking to the Lord. And God hears. God cares. And when that verse says, let your request be made known unto God, if you believed that God didn't care, then of course it would bring up the question, why pray? And we've talked about all this already. We're supposed to be getting down to verse 9. I'm doing my best to get down there, okay? But the point is, rest assured that regardless of the external circumstances that are happening, that you're experiencing, that God does care. He doesn't promise you that He's going to change the external circumstances. He tells us in His Word that we live in a present evil world where Satan is the god of this world. He tells us the nature of this present time. There are times of the sufferings. Romans 8 says the sufferings of this present time. But He also tells us that they're not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There is no promise to protect the believer today from affliction, sorrow, suffering. There is the promise of your eternal destiny in the Lord Jesus Christ, that nothing can change that destiny. He goes on to say at verse 8, He tells us a whole list of here of things to think about. Finding, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, do what with these things? Why should we think on those things? Because what?
Because you won't be thinking on.
Yeah, you won't be thinking of the things that discourage you.
Right.
The things that are part of a life program, as it were. You think on these things.
And all these things come from Christ.
And all those things come from and are about Jesus Christ and His Word. Everyone on the list there. So now look at the next thing he says. He says, those things which you have both... Now, there's a list here. Read it to me. What's the first one?
Learned.
Received. I'm just going to go RCVD. That's received. And then what? Heard. And then what? Seen. And notice he says, in me. Okay? I'll put this over here. In me. And then what does he say?
Do.
Do. And then what does the next verse say? Next phrase say?
And the God of peace shall be
with you. See that there? Now, is there a question that kind of maybe comes to your mind about the God of peace?
Isn't He always with you anyway?
Isn't He already with you?
Yeah,
yes or no?
Yes.
When you trusted the shed blood of Jesus Christ for your personal salvation, when you believed the claim of Scripture, listen very carefully, when you believed the claim of Scripture that Christ died for your sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, so He really did die. He was dead. Okay? He didn't... The old swoon theory... You know, where He really wasn't dead. He just kind of resuscitated in the grave. That's nonsense. Christ died for your sins, according to the Scripture, and then He was buried, and He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. The moment you trust that's the truth, that is the God of heaven telling you that your need, but also His provision, and the good news that's good. He tells you, Christ, that He spared not His own Son. He gave the Lord Jesus Christ to die for your sins. Christ Himself, by free will, gave Himself. He was not forced, He was not coerced. And on that cross there, He bore your sins, every single one of them, every single one of them. Do you mean every one of them? Yes. Do you mean even the ones that haven't committed yet? Yes. When Christ died for your sins 2,000 years ago, all of your sins were future. You weren't even born yet. He looked down the portal of human history and He knew that you would be born and that you would need a Savior. And He took your sins upon His body, soul, and spirit. And He died. And He said, "It is finished," and gave up the ghost. And 3 days later, heaven echoed back to the earth, as it were, and raised Him from the dead. This is an absolute historical, provable event. Absolute. This is not mythology. This is not some religious claim. This is a time and space dimension event that happened in history. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. And His resurrection was the absolute proof that His shed blood there at Calvary is what paid the price for your sins. The moment that you trust that, the moment you make a choice in the privacy of your heart to believe that claim, that news from the Bible, you are believing God. And because you're believing what God says, that's why God, in His justice, can and does instantly, right then and there, save you. And He keeps you saved forever. Isn't that wonderful to think about that? That's what the claim of Scripture says. And so when the Apostle Paul here talks about, he says, those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Look quickly, if you would, over to Romans chapter number 5. Go to Romans chapter number 5. Go to Romans chapter number 5. Watch this. Because we're asking the question that, well, isn't the God of peace already with us? The moment we trusted Christ, isn't the God of peace with us forever now? So what then does the Apostle Paul mean? Say, and the God of peace shall be with you. Look at this, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1. You know this passage? Romans 5:1. Therefore, let's read it out loud together. 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified, how? By faith. What do we have? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the next verse, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The moment you trusted Jesus Christ for your salvation, the justice of God, based upon the shed blood of Jesus Christ, forgave you of all of your sins. This is a judicial transaction that happened. The justice of God forgave you of all of your sins, had nothing to do with your being worthy of it.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Please get that. Religion makes everything based upon being worthy. How are you going to do it that? You're not. Get over it. Religion is about man becoming worthy of God. You can never be. Salvation is the free gift of God to those who are unworthy and don't deserve it. Therefore, being justified by faith, the moment you trust the blood of Christ for your salvation, the justice of God acts. Just like it acted at Calvary, at the cross there. The justice of God comes along and look, because of the blood of Christ that paid the price for all your sins, the justice of God now comes along and forgives you of all of your sins, and He puts righteousness to your account by putting you into Christ and putting Christ in you. So now when He sees Christ, He sees you. And when He sees you, He sees you in Christ. So He sees righteousness. He declares you to be righteous. And so now, when that verse says, therefore being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. The justice of God. Please get this point. The justice of God is forever for you. Why? Because the justice of God is forever for Christ. And you are now in Christ. That's what Scripture declares. And so you have peace with God. Quickly back to Philippians chapter number 4 here. Look back to Philippians chapter number 4. You can see the next phrase at verse 7. Philippians 4:7. It doesn't say peace with God. Philippians 4:7, what does it say there? The peace what? Peace of God. So, judicially, the peace of God is forever for you. And nothing can ever change that. This passage is talking about as a believer now experiencing in our life, in the ups and downs of life, the ability of God's Word to produce stability. We looked at the illustration. When Jesus Christ sends the disciples out on the sea, and the great storm comes on the sea, they came to the Lord. What did they find Him doing? Sleeping, it says, on a pillow. Right? Now, listen, the ship is fixing to, you know, crash, as it were, and Jesus Christ is asleep. What a picture of the peace that was functioning in Him. So much so, man, that in any situation, He could actually just lay His head down and sleep. They come to Him, Lord, help, save us, we perish. They're kind of freaked out, would you say? He wakes up and says, oh, you guys have little faith. What are you talking about? I'm with you. I told you we're going to get to the other side. Just chill here. That's a different translation that says it that way, right? But He stands up and He says, peace, be still! And immediately there was a great calm. Remember that? They're just shocked by that. They say, what manner of man is this? Even the winds and the sea obey this person. The words that came out of His mouth commanded the winds and the sea. Those same words were the words that created the wind and the sea. Those same words that came out of His mouth were words that spoke this entire creation into existence. That's what you have in the written Word of God. That's what Scripture is. That's what Scripture is. The very words of God that came out of the mouth of God that got written down on paper. That's why when you read Scripture, if you'll believe what it says, it has the power to do in your heart, in your soul, what those same words did to the winds and the sea. How many of you have found that to be true? How many of you have found, you turn to the Scripture and you're going through a rough time and you... Maybe this very passage right here. Careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, you just let your request be known to God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding, you let it guard your heart and mind. How many of you have found that to be true? How many of you found a verse of Scripture, 2, 3, 10, 20, whatever, a book, like the book of Philippians, to have the capacity and the ability to come in and bring about that peace, be still in your heart? You found that to be true?
Yes.
Now, I'm already out of time. And this happens every week. I mean, every week you come to church and it's like, my wife, you guys by now know the favorite 3-part series movies that my wife likes, what was it called? Back to the Future. It's about time travel. That's why she comes to church every Sunday, because we do a time travel in here. We come to church and the clock just speeds up for some reason, okay? Time goes faster, okay? So let me do it this way. We'll have to pick it up here next time, but I'm not done yet, okay? Don't check out yet, okay? Give me a couple more minutes, all right? Watch this. Now look at verse 9. Are you back in Philippians 4? Watch this. Verse 9, he says this. He says, those things which you have both, okay, what?
Learned
and what?
Received.
And then what?
Heard.
And then what?
Seen.
In me and do. There is the sequence of how the process happens. That is how this sequence. You learn it, got to receive it. You got to hear it. With the faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And you want to see the verse working. In this case, Paul talks about they saw it working in Paul, but he says you want to see it work in you. You'll never see the Word of God work in you until you make a choice to let it work in you. There's a sequence right there. And he said, you know what? You follow that sequence. You do it. That is the sense of let it work. That's how the God of peace will be with you. Now, real quickly, what does it mean to learn? To learn. Let me just give you some quick definitions here. Learn means to gain knowledge or skill. What does it mean to receive? To receive means to take in something that is offered, to embrace, to accept. What does it mean to hear or heard? Well, obviously, I'm talking right now, so something's coming along, right? And by the way, the original wireless communication is not the internet. I am communicating right now wirelessly with you. There are words coming out of my mouth that originated, you know, the oxygen from my lung, the voice box coming out of my mouth, and they are somehow entering your brain, and somehow, if I'm making sense, then this is wireless communication. The original goes all the way back to the garden between God and Adam. Isn't that amazing? And they did not have a cell phone. Anyway, okay, or the internet. But to hear something. Jesus Christ said that him that has ears to hear. Well, everybody's got ears.
Yeah. You got to want to hear.
That's right. You got to want to hear. You got to have a need to hear. So the Apostle Paul says, I've taught you some things. The Apostle Paul is the Apostle of the Gentiles. He is God's spokesman for the dispensation of grace. As a believer today, this is one of the most critical things to understand if you're going to understand the Bible. All the Bible is for us, but it's what? It's just not all to us. And neither is it all about us. It isn't. You're not Israel back here wandering in the wilderness wondering where you're going to get your manna and your bread from. And I'm sure you're not Israel back here offering blood sacrifices. I know you're not, right? They don't offer blood sacrifices today. Right? You're not back here where the Lord Jesus Christ told the disciples, He said, take no thought what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or wherewithal you shall be clothed. Now, some of y'all didn't pay attention to that verse anyway, but that was really bad, right? I'm just joking. I'm trying to... Listen, every one of you, you took thought. Think about this coming week. Your employment, your business, you're going to take thought about what you're going to say at the meetings. You're going to take thought about what you're going to have for breakfast or lunch or dinner. You're going to take thought about what you do, you know, plan for month. It's interesting how people claim those verses. You okay there, brother? He's not going to have another heart attack here in our presence. But those verses when Christ says, take no thought what you shall eat or drink. We all take thought. None of us is obeying that verse. But Christ really said what He meant in that verse to Israel, preparing them to go through the tribulation period in which God was going to supernaturally provide for them. Like He supernaturally provided for them in the wilderness by giving them water and the manna and the quail. Remember that? Well, at any rate, understand this. In the dispensation of the grace of God, so vital that we understand the Apostle Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. He's the spokesman. He's the instructor, as it were, today. And the information that he is instructing, where did he get it from? Directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is not... No one's exalting Paul here. You got the instruction, so you learned. But what's the difference between something that's simply head knowledge and heart knowledge, as they say? You got to receive it. You got to receive it. How do you receive it? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. And then you can see whether or not it is so. You see it in action. In the case of the book of Philippians, the first full chapter of Philippians, most of the first of the full chapter there, the first chapter, the Apostle Paul writes down and records his situation, how he let the grace of God function in him. He put it on display so that others could see the reality of it. Now, so your homework this week, and when I, you know, it's like, wait a minute, homework, what are you talking about? You know, I was at school a long time ago. Your homework this week, because you've got to come back next week and we'll pass papers around and grade each other's papers, etc. All right? Think about this. That verse right there. He says, those things which you have learned. So there's an instruction that happened. You've got to make a choice to receive them. Open the ears. Let him that has ears to hear. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And then make a choice to see if it works. He says, in me, so it's just do. As we do that, that's how we experience moment by moment the reality of the fact that the God of peace is already with us. We're going to do this real quickly. We're going to go back to Romans 5 and then we're going to wrap this up. Go back to Romans 5. And then I got a couple of questions and we're going to wrap this up. Okay? Go back to Romans 5. This is just one example. We read Romans 5:1 a moment ago. Let's do it again. Romans 5:1 says this. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Everybody see that verse?
Yes.
What's the instruction? So, if you learn something, there has to be instruction. What is the instruction in that verse?
That we're justified by faith.
That justification is how? It's by faith, and of course faith alone, not by works of any kind at any time. You don't get saved by being a good person. Can I say something that might say some people very, you knew what I was going to say next, right? You don't get saved by being a good person. Christ died, came to the world to save who? Sinners. Christ said, they that are whole need not a physician. So I'm not coming to the Lord as someone thinking I'm a pretty good person, God will save me. No, He won't. He's not. God is not in the business of saving people who don't need to be saved. He came into the world to save sinners. Put me at the head of that line. You know why people don't get saved? Because they don't believe they need to be saved. They don't believe they're lost. They don't believe they're guilty. They don't believe they're condemned. The gospel, good news, is only good news to someone who needs the good news of the gospel.
Amen.
And if you think you're good enough or you're worthy enough, you know what? You just don't need this news. I mean, you actually do. You just don't know you do. But the instruction that he wants us to learn in that verse is justification is by grace through faith alone in the finished work of Christ alone. His death, burial, and resurrection. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So what do we need to do with that news? We need to what? We need to receive it. We need to take it in. We need to embrace it, as it were. It is the truth. We heard it, so faith comes by hearing him by the Word of God. Question. If it is true that justification is by grace through faith alone, if that's true, and it is true, and let's say you believe that, then what can you experience? What can you see with the eye of faith, as it were? What can you see?
Calm.
Hope.
Rest.
Assurance. Peace. Confidence in God. You see how it works there? And so you can experience the truth of the doctrine that you're taught, that you've received by faith, and you see, you experience the reality of what it says. I'm going to ask Henry to come forth. We'll close in a hymn here. And let's think about this. We'll deal with this in more detail next time to really see and appreciate how it is that the living Word of God, because that's what this is, the living Word of God works in us as we believe it. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for the time to look into your Word today. We thank you for the instruction that is here. We see in your Word that you have such a desire for us to come and appreciate, to see with the eye of our understanding who you have made us to be in Christ by grace, his finished work at Calvary there, and that we can and should find rest and peace in him. Well, thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen.